What's up, everybody? It's your old friend, John Middlecoff. I'm here to tell you about our friends at Game Time. Here's what I need you to do. Go to your smartphone, download a little app called Game Time. Baseball season's in full swing. Oracle Park. Been there a million times. Never doesn't live up to the hype. Go get yourself some garlic fries, a brewski, maybe some ice cream. They have very good Ghirardelli ice cream there. And when you do that, promo code HAM. So download the Game Time app. Your first pair of tickets, promo code HAM, H-A-M, save $20. The A's, only going to be in the Bay Area for the rest of this season. You probably can basically go for free. Just buy a pair of tickets to any baseball game. They also have comedy shows if you want to check one of those out, or concerts. Game Time app, promo code HAM, save yourself $20. We don't even need a thank you. Just hammer that promo code.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This Haberman and Middlecoff segment is brought to you by Ease.com, promo code HAM, Middlecoff.
Promo code HAM, $20 off first purchase, over $50 free delivery.
And it's brought to you by MyBookie.ag.
Promo code HAM1, that's HAM, H-A-M, and the number one. You get it, your initial deposit, you get an extra 50% bonus.
Now to the pod. How about the Raiders, Middlecoff? Paul Gunther, Vontaze Burfict. Knowing how guys tick. A.B. and Vontaze. No issue here, says Vontaze. No problem.
A.B. called him.
Don't worry about us. Well, A.B.'s – dude, A.B.'s a unifier.
Oh, he is.
A.B.'s getting –
how about this video guy? He's incredible.
His video guy?
Like the guy he has cutting up his videos that he tweets out.
So let me ask you this. Do you ever – do you get – I get a lot of – I'm going to give a little insight into my – my Instagram tendencies. I get a lot of A-Rod and J-Lo posts. Do you see a lot of A-Rod and J-Lo on your Instagram?
Well, yeah. I mean, A-Rod just posts a lot.
Right. But what I'm saying is I get a lot of like what appear to be fan accounts, right? It'll be like A-Rod, J-Lo Forever is like the name of the account. But they're personal photos. They're not photos that like A-Rod or J-Lo have posted. And so my guess is that there are multiple account like fan accounts that are actually run by their internal marketing to make it seem like there's a bunch of other people just running fan accounts on them.
I would probably agree with you. They got some shit like that going down.
And then, like, because it made me think of it is when Antonio was running through the bounce house at Bulldog Stadium with Darren Carr. You could see, like, I saw a hand pop in, and it was, like, a pro-level camera with, like, a mic on it.
Yeah. And so, well, because the video that Darren tweeted out was just, like, someone holding his phone.
Yeah.
The guy next to him was Antonio's video guy that I think he just has a videographer, follows him around everything he does.
I've been loving AB's videos.
Yeah, they're good. They make you smile. They are very happy videos. It cannot be disputed, for as ugly as shit got, his Instagram portrays a completely different human being. Like someone pretty likable that you would want on your team, right? Yeah. That if you were a fan of the team that AB was on, you would really like him. Now, again, that's not what's been portrayed over his time, but that is kind of what's going on. Now, he also had the famous that was Paint You Dry. Was that Miami, Cincinnati, or was that Pittsburgh, Cincinnati? For Cincinnati, because the guy just was in Miami.
Yeah, paint you on site, boy.
Like those games, I think 2 years ago was the tipping point, right? Where it felt, even in this day and age where the game's been cleaned up, a little too violent. Like I remember watching the Monday Night Football game. Now, granted, that was the game where Shazier broke his neck, where it felt borderline uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like someone was going to get hurt. And the famous hit in that game was Vontaze hitting AB's head. Now, AB popped up. There was also a hit in that game, if I remember correctly, where Ioka, who was visiting the Raiders today, f- fucked up Antonio in the end zone. But Antonio caught it.
Didn't Juju have another big hit in that game?
Oh, my. Juju killed Vontez.
That's right.
He crackbacked him on like a Le'Veon run or a quick screen. I mean, just killed him.
Vontez had been suspended 3 games 2 years ago for a hit on Antonio.
Yeah.
Knocked Antonio out of the playoffs.
You're right. Hurt his knee or something, didn't he?
Got a concussion.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was. I mean, it was just they had wars. Like, it was – it went from the Ravens Steelers being that game to this game.
Well, all you need to know about how legit that was that a dude that the a game in which a guy got carted off, Antonio was yelling karma during the – remember when Juju was doing an interview in the locker room?
You're saying the game that Vontez got carted off.
Wait a second. The game that Juju hit Vontez. Yeah, sorry.
I think he Vontez knocked got out. Carted off. Got
That's yeah. right. Stood over him. Juju got suspended, but AB was yelling while Juju was getting interviewed. Karma post.
You're saying Juju got suspended in that game for looking over the body?
Yes. I don't know if it was for the look. It might have just been for the hit that he got. But he taunted. It. But then post game. Juju was doing an interview, and AB was in the background yelling, karma!
Yeah, I mean, the games...
Which I understand.
Like, again, they felt violent watching them, borderline uncomfortable, and then when people are tweeting about, like, I will kill you, like it had gotten pretty personal, right? I would imagine the NFL intervened, and there were some things said to both teams. Someone tweeted at me yesterday, like... Do you think that Vontez and AB are going to have issues in practice? Well, I said, if Vontez touches AB in a practice, he will meet the waiver wire so fucking fast your head will spin. They just paid – Antonio Brown's the best player on the team now. He won't be touched. Now, again, they were tweeting at each other. AB tweeted yesterday, like, I just got off the phone with @Tez55 or whatever. We're cool. Can't wait. It's on or, you know, some bullshit like that. Bully ball. Sounds cool now, but, you know, Vontez has been, what would you say, one of the more polarizing defenders the last 5 or 6 years? Dirty shit.
Yeah.
He's been suspended multiple times for late hits, dirty hits. Now, again, as I tweeted last night, like, was this guy born to be a Raider?
Yeah, I mean, there was a somebody wrote in one of the Pittsburgh papers.
Would you mess with this guy?
No, because, John, how good of a player is he?
Well, he played 7 games last year. Now he's suspended and hurt.
Well, I mean, look,
there is a huge connection here.
One of the Pittsburgh reporters wrote a story that I guess during one of the Monday night games a few years ago, Gruden said he would pay money to watch Vontez Perfect play football. So it's probably not just a Paul Gunther thing. But I think the element is not.
It was his second. Vontez's. I read a story yesterday or just saw a headline. The moment he got cut, he said, I called my mom to let her know. My second call was Paul Gunther. He said he didn't pick up, and I called him 7 straight times, so he picked up. That's his guy.
Yeah, that was his lifeline, man, not just his guy.
Because Vontez was a 5-star recruit, ends up at ASU, has a crazy story, then doesn't he go undrafted? Then he has a really good NFL career.
I think part of this, John, is not will Vontez Burfict and Antonio Brown throw hands in practice. Like, that's not even what this is about, right? It's just here's another player that you're adding that it's just – it can be complicated with, to put it nicely, right? Like, it's not – right? That's kind of what you're thinking.
Do you think they're messing with fire right now?
Yeah, that's right. Like, it's just how much can you rely on this guy?
Yeah, or how much can you control him? Now, I think Gruden would say, well, I've got his, like, best friend, best coach, you know, that can handle him. That's where I think they would feel comfortable about it, is I got Paul Gunther, he can handle him. Part of when you hire these coaches, because to me the fit makes sense. They need a linebacker, and this guy signs off on him, and he's his coach. Like, Paul Gunther's a defensive coordinator, and linebacker is kind of his baby. So Vontez is his guy. So I don't think it's that nuts from just a transactional standpoint, just acquire him because it fits the need. He's a little nuts. He feels like a Raider. I got news for you. When's the last time, I mean, beside Khalil, they had a guy that was like, you know what, that guy is a little fucking on edge. Like, that guy might break you in half, do something. Like, I don't mind having those guys on defense. Now, this guy kind of crosses the line, slash, gets in trouble and gets suspended. So my ultimate feeling on this whole Raiders, the fake rebuild, because there was never a rebuild, now they're trying to win next year, is that when you bring in all these guys that aren't just like, oh, he's kind of a personality. No, you're bringing in, I mean, when you say Vontaze Burfict and Antonio Brown are now in your locker room, I mean, those are two of the bigger personality polarizing figures in the league. Can you handle it, John? Because you proved back in the day when you were at Tampa, like the big personalities, and you didn't really mesh. And I wouldn't say last year showed us much that things have changed, have they?
Well, and the other question is, and maybe this isn't fair, maybe he really wanted Vontaze Burfict.
He got mad when Khalil wouldn't call him back.
Maybe he really wanted Vontaze Burfict, but, you know, there's an element here that part of my question is what did it take for Vontaze to get onto the team? Was it Paul Gunther saying, John, Vontaze is available, and John saying, I love him, let's do it? Or was it, I don't know, Paul. No, John, I'm telling you he's going to be good. Because if it's any level of that, does that strain something between John and Paul? Does John blame Paul if it goes side? You know, there's just all these other layers potentially to it, too, depending on how the deal came together.
I don't think Gruden gives literally one shit about personalities and stuff. Like, he's got Al David. Like, he's never turned off by crazy. Now, he is once he's coaching you, but just once he signs you or acquires you, that doesn't bother him.
But my
him.
Question is just, was he all in from the beginning, or did he have to be convinced?
Well, they brought him out on a visit, so they sat down with him. Maybe he did. Maybe he brought him out, they talked with him. Like, they didn't just sign him, like Tyrell Williams or whatever. They brought him to Oakland, they spent the day with him, and then by dinner time, they had him signed. So that shows you some people needed to talk to him, right? Because there's a difference when just signing the guy. Like, Randall Cobb signs with the Cowboys. You don't need to meet the Cowboys or whatever. He's fine. You just, if you want him, you sign him. Now, again, as the days go on, the numbers change. When you bring a guy on a visit, to me, that's a pretty, that just, the sign is you needed to talk with him. If then you end up signing him. Like, you wanted to sit down, and it makes sense. Because if you're Gruden, wouldn't you not be doing your job if you didn't bring this guy to you? Like, you should want to talk to him.
Right.
Just get a couple things figured out. Bring Paul in the room. Let's just sit down. Let's just have – call in some Subway Sandos and just have a little convo. Because to me, that's – wouldn't you imagine that the three of them spend some time together just in a room, just talking about whatever? Because they knew, like, they had the money to sign. The signing him was not going to be difficult.
You don't think Mayock was in the room, or was he at a pro day?
Well, he was at Alabama.
FaceTime?
And that is where...
Why didn't he throw an Alabama sweatshirt on?
That's a good question.
You think any other coaches were like, hey, man, can we get a... Like, nah, just Bill.
Yeah, like John Lynch is like, hey, man, could I get a polo or something? It is... Pretty powerful move, given the hoodie a polo or a polo.
Like, what's his name? The head coach of the Giants. Think he asked for one?
Did you turn on NFL Network at all yesterday?
No.
And just see, I mean, just the amount of people there. Oh my god! Just every drill. Once the
was it inside?
It was in their practice bubble. Like every drill run by a high level coach. Like, I mean, every position coach there for all their main positions. So, like, Deuce Daly and then, like, the D-line coach from Pittsburgh. And then, obviously, in the background is just Mayock, the Colberts, the Giants, the Lynches. I mean, I think they said there were 11 GMs there.
Wow.
Seven head coaches. Bill always goes to that one, but it's pretty powerful. Like, Bill's always coming to your pro day. To me, that's kind of saying something. It's not just to see Nick. You can see Nick whenever he wants. And then they got – on film of Nick, whenever you see a defensive coach close his fists and go high low, they're talking safety play.
Both hands, put the both hands.
And Nick was doing a couple of that. Like, Nick was asking all the questions, and Bill was just shaking his hands. And then Nick did this one thing with his finger, like showing a motion guy. And you could see Bill had the pencil in his ear and was shaking his head.
Was the Steelers GM there?
It's a good question. I don't know. I didn't see him.
I mean, I would think Roethlisberger stands out, though.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Ben wasn't there?
Hard to miss.
Looking for no. – Ben would love an old Alabama quarterback to be his backup, a guy that he knows cannot ever beat him out. Like old school Alabama QBs, you know.
Like Greg McElroy?
Yeah, like John, like Parker David, John Parker David Wilson. Yeah.
Brody Croyle.
Yeah.
He gets a little uneasy if you're like a third rounder that put up big stats.
Yeah. And is big, is physically large like him.
Do you think any player's reputation
I know where you're going. Don't you keep going.
Has been ruined more than Roethlisberger's over the last like month.
So I don't know about ruin, like just.
But he did. I mean, the guy's had a rape allegation. I wouldn't say he
has.
Yeah, like
but you're in the last month. I mean, like who's had a worse month? Antonio Brown or Ben Roethlisberger? Based on
Roethlisberger
perception,
Roethlisberger by a mile.
Like Antonio, I think is just on more people's radar. I think more people casually are aware of that story. But like, if you really follow stuff. And, you know, if you listen to this podcast for a while, we've been talking about Ben for a long time. Now, are we buying everything Le'Veon Bell told Jenny Vrentas? He's like, you know, like Ben wasn't throwing to AB. He said, if I'm mad at a player and I'm not throwing the ball, I'm not throwing to AB, I'm giving Juju all the shine or Jesse or Vance or whoever it is, and you know you're consciously making another receiver mad, but you don't care, it's hard to win that way. It's tough to back it up. You go check the numbers. Like, it's the third most targets Antonio's ever had. But all it takes, like Ben's little intentional fumble that no one noticed, just because he had the third most targets doesn't mean that he never chose to throw the ball somewhere else. Because all it takes is you do that once, John. Now I know you're the guy who doesn't do what's best for the team because of a personal issue. So just because we can check the box score and see that Antonio had the third most targets of his career doesn't mean Ben didn't do it one time. And if Ben did it one time, then that's not being a team player. And I know Le'Veon is maybe, you know, Le'Veon's not the guy that everyone's like taking his word as gold, but do you believe it or do you not believe it? That's a simple question.
I believe it. And I also believe that Le'Veon, if you think about the last 10 years, when or let's say 12, when Roethlisberger really kind of took off since like that 08 Super Bowl against the Cardinals, I know he won it as a rookie, but he was just kind of a manager. So like 08 till now. These are two by far the best offensive players he's played with. Like, that were, didn't become stars after or transition to a star. Like, were all pro level, the best at their position in the league. And you could argue better than Ben. Like, they at their position are better than Ben at their position, right? And both guys kind of called the bullshit on him. And I just wonder. And again, Antonio and Le'Veon, to me, are somewhat getting a pass now. Like, they're nuts. Like, Antonio just constantly wants more money, more money, more money, which I don't totally blame him for. But it's like, Antonio, you've been making the – you've been the premium paid player now for like 7 years. Le'Veon, a little different, but it's like, hey, Le'Veon, they offered you a long-term contract. You'd also been suspended twice, bro. Twice suspended. I'm a pro, ease.com promo code ham, and I hope you used it. But you did get caught where it is illegal in your state, hotboxing with LeGarrette on the way to the team plane and got a DUI. The plane then left without you two guys. Well, I think LeGarrette wasn't driving, so like he made it. But Le'Veon, you did not get on that. Like, that happened. So you are not some innocent bystander. And one of his bitching and moaning parts was, you know, they Gibson. In the interview, like, they get mad at you playing video games. Like, do they really, Le'Veon? Or are you just saying that? Like, yeah, they want you to take football seriously. They're paying you $12 million, and they offered you $14.5 million. But I do get that these guys both look at Big Ben like, this guy's kind of a fraud. And they were good enough where, you know, if Vance McDonald or some guy like that would have that take. Because most of Ben's run, the best players have been like Troy Polamalu, have been defensive guys, right? Well, now there are offensive guys that are probably individually better than him that are also kind of opinionated.
Well,
I think they have some merit, but I also think that both of them would have much more, you know, substance to it if they acted like Larry Fitzgerald. You'd be like, God, Larry Fitzgerald's crushing this guy? This guy must be a slapdick.
Of the three of them, none of them are innocent, right? Like, we're loving Antonio, and it's entertaining. But the guy did miss, like, just disappeared three times last year going back to training camp. Okay? Like, when he didn't show up week 17 for practice, Lock and Four tweeted, it was the third time this season he's gone AWOL.
Well, Steelers fans tweet me a lot, like, for the hype on how hard he works at practice, just know this. Over the last like 5 years.
Who works hard in practice? How hard is anyone really working in NFL practice these days?
Yeah, but I think he's the hardest work. Okay, I'll give him that. But there have been countless times, not just last year, over his tenure, where he does not show, guy. He does not attend. Work starts. Everyone's there. Like, whatever you do. Like, if you do not attend work, and it's one thing to like, hey, man, I got meningitis. I mean, that's pretty serious. I got bronchitis. I'm sick. Okay. You go silent and you don't show up. That's a problem.
It really is. Like, should we go back and give Tomlin a retroactive Coach of the Year award for one of these years where the whole thing didn't blow up on him and they made the playoffs?
I think Tomlin has been consistently crushed. Like, hey, can't handle it. Who could, guy? Who could handle these guys? Has it been underrated how impossible and hard it is to handle Roethlisberger now?
Yeah.
That's like, what a pain in the ass.
And he had Todd Haley. He had an OC and a quarterback that hated each other. And he's not an offensive guy.
That are both big opinion ego guys, right? Like, Haley is.
Yeah.
That could not have been an easy relationship.
This guy, he doesn't have one Coach of the Year award. We got to give Mike Tomlin's got to get a Coach of the Year award.
Do you have Mike Tomlin's career record in front of you?
No, but I'll pull it up right now.
Yeah, he dealt with Todd Haley and Brett Roethlisberger for 5 years with Le'Veon and Antonio. That's an underrated 5-year stretch. I know they didn't win a Super Bowl, but they were good.
Okay, 125-66.
Probably five divisions.
8-7 in the playoffs. Two Super Bowl appearances and a championship, obviously. Been a while, but.
Yeah, how many divisions he's won?
No. But he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's coached 12 years, John. He's won double-digit 10 or more games 8 times. And he's never finished under 500. Never finished under 500.
Has he ever finished 8-8?
Twice. 12-13.
So he's been to two Super Bowls, 1-1. In a division that over his tenure, the Bengals had like a 5-year stretch where they were damn good. The Ravens are consistently good. I mean, 1 year they won the Super Bowl. So he's won the North guy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. 6 division championships. That means you got 6 home games. So why do the Steelers like him so much? Well, 1, he wins. 2, he hosts playoff games. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In 5 of the 6, he's lost the home playoff game. No, excuse me.
Okay, but now we're talking, I mean, now yeah, what now are we digging into?
But I think he's almost underrated at this point. Like, it went from, yeah, he's flawed, but are his flaws still 95% better than every coach beside, like, Belichick? If you had to say who's the better coach, because his resume is different because he's won a Super Bowl, and you're Tomlin, who would you put – if you had to – let's rank top three coaches right now, because the number one's the easiest one going. But, like, who's 2 and 3? Would you put Pete Carroll above Mike Tomlin?
He's one. I get it. But I know what Andy Reid brings me. Like, I know his thing is offense, and that matters, so I would take him.
If you had a coaching, like all GMs got a coaching draft, I mean, it'd be hard because like whoever had the number one wouldn't necessarily want to work with Bill, but you wouldn't have a choice. You'd have to draft Bill. Who would go to? Would it be Andy?
Yeah.
Again, not
McVay.
but Andy's pretty easy to work with too.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a really good chance Andy would go too.
Would Tomlin go in the top five?
I don't know. I don't know what they think of him. All I know is, you know what I mean? Because I don't, feels like it'd be, you'd be hard pressed right now to draft a guy who doesn't, like, what is he doing on the football field?
I mean, fucking looking sweet.
I don't know either. All I know is he's one of the better coaches in the NFL. I know that. I'm just
would you say the coolest coach ever? Like, just a dude that could just, this is a smooth cat.
Yeah, he'd be hard
Parcells
to top.
And some of these guys, they're big personalities or whatever, but like they're not like smooth with chicks and like in a room, just the coolest guy in the room. I just think they're cool because they're powerful, but I just feel like Tomlin's just cool. But he also, there's substance behind him. Like his shit works. Maybe he's better with the crazier team. Maybe that's just it. he's perfect for a nuttier team. Seriously.
Did you get like the benefit like of having him doesn't – if everybody is in line, it doesn't serve you?
If I told you that Mike Tomlin had been fired last year and was now the head coach of the Browns with this roster, you'd be like, damn, the Browns are going to be good, right?
Yeah.
He's made to coach that roster.
Raiders?
Tomlin and the Raiders?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say he would have been the sweetest Raider? Like, there's more substance to him, I think, than Gruden. Clearly. I mean, just check the resumes. Does Gruden kind of need to win this year now? Like, has he put some pressure on himself, not to get fired or anything, but just from fans? Like, if he were to go 5-11 with this roster, a lot of people just think he's overrated, but would there be, like,
it would increase. The criticism would greatly increase from Raiders fans.
Let's just assume he doesn't trade any of the picks. So he uses 3 first-rounders and pick 35. And, you know, it looks good on paper, right? Like, Rashawn Gary or Sweat, Hakeem Butler, and, you know, whoever. Just Murphy. Like, 3 real – you're like, damn. And the 35 is a good player, too. N'Keal Harry or something. Wouldn't you say, like, 8-8 would almost feel like a letdown? Because their team on paper would look like they got all this young talent. They now got Antonio. They got a good offensive line. They got Derek coming back. Because it's going to be hard unless they trade.
Already was last year.
Yeah, but once he traded Mac, I think we all, the season's over. Now, it's going to be hard for there not to be a decent amount of hype, because on paper, guy, they're going to have a lot of names. Best receiver in football.
Also, now one of the Khalil picks is going to be on the football field.
Yeah, so okay, use pick 20, use to get Hakeem Butler. Is this guy number one wide receiver? Can he catch 50 balls playing with Tyrell Williams and Antonio Brown? Can Derek play well? Can you coach with the quarterback? I think it's going to be hard. It's going to be impossible. I'll say this. It sucked last year doing what we do. It's not digging ditches, but having to watch the Niners and Raiders by about mid-October, it was terrible.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this, you know too.
I didn't think we'd ever make it to mid-March, John, late March.
It was hard to watch those two teams. You give me Jimmy back and just give me this Raiders roster, they are much more watchable now.
No doubt.
Would you agree there?
Yeah.
Like, the Raiders are pretty watchable right now, again.
Yeah.
And they were a tough watch.
Would have been nice to get Odell, but.
That's selfishly I wanted him. Yeah. But you give me Antonio and Vontez and some sweet rookies, I'm in.
All right. A healthy Quan Alexander.
Yeah. Keep telling yourself that.
D Ford?
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.